production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio, your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. It's report card time on RTR. We'll be giving a letter grade to each organization for their body of work so far this season. Our good friend, well, maybe good friend, Sean Whitfield is in the studio with us. We will discuss the upcoming race at Bristol Motor Speedway. And of course, you'll get the Monster Energy Point standings and the all-important power rankings, picks to win, and much, much more today on Racing Talk Radio. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my right, or left now, is Jason Hildebrand. Across, of course, is Scott Webb, which I got to look at his ugly mug every Wednesday. And our special guest, Sean Whitfield. He is the owner of Whitfield Media Group, and I think he hangs around in the oil business a little bit. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Hey, good evening. Glad to be here.
Well, we got one gentleman.
Doing good.
All right, good.
doing really good. Now, if I'm to your right, folks driving down the highway, where would I be in their car looking at the radio?
Who knows?
Okay.
I mean, they know Sean Whitfield's all they need to know, right?
Amen to that, buddy.
Chattanooga radio, whatever you want, a guru. We'll go with that. So, listen, no NASCAR this past weekend. It was a little weird on Sunday when I was looking for that nap after Easter Sunday and getting that big meal and was hoping to see a race and didn't see anything. I don't even remember what I watched, and that was kind of the thing. It's one of those sports seasons now where if you don't have NASCAR on Sunday, you find you some hockey or find something that you can go to sleep to.
Hey, I can get into the hockey now. That's a sore subject with me now.
Yeah, I'm still paying the price for the Preds late night overtime Monday night win over the Blackhawks.
So I thought you were going to say you're paying the price for the Twitter bomb that you did last night with the school stuff. I mean, it was like I couldn't even get any top stories because there was nothing but educational stuff on there.
Well, hey man, just trying to keep just trying to educate the masses, buddy.
I mean, I graduated 24 years ago. I was done.
Speaking
with school,
of grades, I'm fired up today as a teacher. One of my favorite things to do is to hammer some grades, and I'm going to hammer some people today.
Well,
there's some people that are going to have to go to summer school
after talking to
Jason.
The
start of their season.
After talking to Jason before we started, I think I was a little too easy on some people.
I think you were.
We'll find that out for sure. Sean, you've done your homework, I know, and you've come prepared to put some grades to some teams.
Well, I will be. I didn't know I was going to be doing any grading today, but it's been an interesting and drama-filled NASCAR season so far. We've seeing drivers and teams running well, winning races that we typically don't see. And then the biggest shock to me this year is the fact that Joe Gibbs Racing has raced 7 races so far this year and 0 wins.
And that's something Jason's going to bring up later. That really surprises me when you think about it. And one of the comments, and I don't want to give away too much about what we'll talk about, is I think, in my opinion, I think they're still adjusting to the 2018 car. I don't know that they've got that figured out yet. I look forward to the second time we go to some of these tracks to see if that changes a bit.
Well, part of the problem, I think, is we expect so much coming off the start last year, the way they were it seemed like they were going to win, or a Toyota was going to win every single race. Now, the Furniture Row guys, they seem to have figured out what's going on. I don't know if it's being stationed in Denver or what's going on, or they're getting good night's sleep on those Denver mattresses. But they've kind of figured it out.
They're not paying us any money.
No, they're not. That's my bad.
Right.
But the Gibbs cars have struggled. Outside of Kyle Busch, has had some good cars, but the rest of the guys have kind of been mired in mediocrity, and it's to the point now where you're starting to get a little concerned. You don't want to go crazy and say that, hey, these guys are going to struggle to win races, but it's getting to that point where it's time to start showing up and getting some top 5, top 10s.
If I'm not mistaken, 5 wins last year in the first 7 races were all Joe Gibbs Racing. So far this year, there's only one driver in the top 10. That's Kyle Busch.
That is true. I mean, there's not much you can argue about it as far as the results. But, you know, it would be different if they were, you know, really bad. I mean, if you want to look at like a Dale Earnhardt Jr. finishing, you know, 20 to 30 or whatever every week for a while. They've ran and had their good points throughout races. I think it's just finishing races for them is the big thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you look and we talk about the overall organization. That team was the hottest team out there last year. We knew they had big things with them, especially with Carl Edwards. But now Carl Edwards is gone. And just like Sean touched on, one guy in the top 10, he's sitting there seventh in the points. All the rest are 16 and lower in that organization.
And I will say the guy sitting in seventh in the top 10 is my guy, Kyle Busch.
Rowdy.
Yeah. The sound effect every time.
And to add to that, Jamie, I guess it depends on how you define really bad. Because when I look at it, it's really bad. I mean, look here. Denny Hamlin, 16th. We've got Matt Kenseth, 22nd, and Daniel Suarez, 23rd. Now, this is Joe Gibbs Racing. This isn't this isn't RCR or Roush Fenway.
Well, I mean, look at it this way.
This is horrible.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
No, I agree.
Somebody that drives a Toyota.
This is horrible for Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, just think about where they've been.
I couldn't agree with him more. They set a bar last year at the start of the last year that they were the dominant team in the sport. You know, we've talked about Hendrick for so many years with Gordon and Jimmy Johnson and all the runs that they've had and all the championships they won. And we thought the mantle was the torch being handed over to Joe Gibbs Racing, and then to come out the start of this season and really be flat. I mean, Kenseth, it seems like every time I'm watching Kenseth in a race, he's spinning out. I mean, he's wrecking. You know, this is a guy that's won a championship, that's competed, especially since he's got the Gibbs, to win championships year in and year out. And they have no mojo going right now.
All right, let's hear what Jamie has to say to all this.
I'm done with that. Let's go to the other top story. The other top story, I think, the first semester, if you want to call it, NASCAR is the young guns. Really sticking out with Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, a couple other guys. It's huge to see this is, and we kind of hashtagged this a couple of weeks ago, the new NASCAR, and I think that's something you're seeing now is these second generation drivers that are really taking over and running well.
And this is exactly what NASCAR needs, because we know with the guard changing from some of the veteran drivers, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, those guys retire, we're going to see more of that in the near future. The sport is hungry for some new heroes, some new superstars. And so for these young guys to be running well this year, this is a good investment for the future of NASCAR.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into this because this is going to take a little bit, and I'm sure some interesting discussion, especially when I give my grades for some of these, since there seems to be no agreement in here today.
Well, I think there's a lot of agreement. Don't think we agree with you.
Right, and that happens. All right, so what we're going to do is give a letter grade. I kind of look at this as a team, not as individual drivers, but I'll mention some individual drivers. So the way we'll go is we'll give a grade and then give a short synopsis of what we've got. Let's start with Hendrick Motorsports. You know, everybody except for Chase Elliott has not run that well. So you've got Dale Earnhardt Jr., I think, is back in 20th in points, which is unusual for him. He's usually in the top 10.
I mean, you're not counting the guy that won a race.
Yeah, I'm getting there. If you'd let me finish.
Okay, all right, my bad. Good. I was just trying to.
You'll get your grade later. I know this is what you do for a living. All right, so Jimmy Johnson plays a big role, too, because he's got his first win on the seventh race, seventh-time champion. That's what he does. So I went ahead and gave them a C. Now, I look for this to change simply because I don't think you can keep this team down long with the resources that they have. It seems to be coming around for Dale Earnhardt, which I think will change things a little bit. And Casey Kane's ran decent this year, and really a big year for him as far as the future at Hendrick Motorsports. So, Jason Hildebrand.
Looking at where Chase Elliott is in the standing so far, he's second. He's been running consistent races out there. And Jimmy Johnson coming off the first win for the team this year. Last week, and he's sitting there 11th in points. Like you said, Kane 17th, Earnhardt Jr.'s in 20th. I gave Hendrick a B solely because of Elliott's performance week in and week out and that win that Johnson has.
I'm afraid to ask Scott Webb.
No, I think I'm in total agreement with Jason. I like the direction. We're seeing, you know, we've seen Casey Kane have some good races this year, which is a marked improvement compared to what that team has done in the last 18 months for sure. And then you look, Junior, I guess, is the outlier, but I think it was going to take some time for them to kind of feel their way back into being in a race car and doing those things at the track. They've had some things happen. They've had some good runs, and that car was real fast last time out. So I think maybe they've started to turn the corner. Jimmy Johnson, a slow start, but we've said this on multiple occasions on this show that nobody in here worries about Jimmy Johnson because we know where they're going to end up at some point. And then you look at Chase Elliott, who has just been, out and out the class of that organization, and to be 20, 21 years old and doing the things that he's doing. Now consistency. Now can they take that next step in the evolution and find a way to win? I'm pretty pleased at this point in time. Now, 3 weeks ago, it may have been a little more of a concern, but I kind of like where Hendrick is at this point.
All right. So the most prepared on the show to give out grades, Mr. Sean Whitfield.
Well, when you think about Hendrick Motorsports, just think about the success and what this organization really is. I mean, holds the 7-time champion driver on its team. Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s had a great career. Chase Elliott's having a fantastic season. But Jimmy Johnson just got his first win at Texas. So Hendrick Motorsports, in some regards, I'm a little bit disappointed with, because I'm used to the Hendrick Motorsports that's always been the best, been the most superior. So I'm going to give it a solid B.
Solid B?
Solid B.
I think it's a B plus or a B minus, just a solid B. All right, I gave 2 A's in my group, and 1 goes to Penske Racing. So Brad, I think, has done very well, has performed well, has been consistent. Joey concerned me a little bit as far as the way he's ran. I mean, not a lot of it has been his fault. I mean, there was, I think, at California he wasn't able to qualify because he got stuck in laser tech that set him back. But I also included Blaney in with Penske Racing. Because, I mean, he gets pretty much all of his parts and equipment from Roger Penske. So, is adding those three in, with Joey kind of being the third in line maybe now, I'd give them an A.
I've given them a solid A. I mean, almost an A+. When you look at these guys, Keselowski in fourth with 2 wins on the season, Logano sitting in fifth in the points, and Blaney in sixth. I mean, they're solid week in, week out, off the trailer and qualifying when they're able to get out there. And, like I said, they're lighting it up every single week. They're a force to be reckoned with on the track.
Yeah, to me, they're the best organization in the sport right now, because not only do they show up to the track each and every week ready to come off the truck and be fast, because they are fast, they qualify well, they put themselves in good position. You want to see maybe some more wins, especially for the 22 and the 21 car. The 2 car's taking care of his business. He's putting himself in position. I don't think you can go anywhere but A with this group.
I'm going to go along and agree with what Jason had to say. 2 cars in the top 5. Brad Keselowski is the only driver to win more than 1 race so far this year. I'm going to put him in an A+.
Would you have thought that Joey Logano would not have a win by this time this year?
Well, I mean, there's only 7 races. So, I mean, they can only win so many times. He's had himself in position. They've had some issues of some qualifying stuff. Among other things that have kind of got them back in the field. He likes to speed down pit road, which is another issue that he has sometimes as well. So if they can eliminate some of those mistakes, I don't think anybody in here doubts that the 22 is not going to find victory lane at some point this year.
I just add Joey Logano to the list of other drivers that I would have expected to have already won this year.
Yeah.
Because the list is longer than normal.
Very much so. All right, let's go to Richard Childress Racing. I gave him a C-. Part of that, I think, is because Newman's win early. I mean, how long has it been since Ryan Newman won? He gets in these championship in the playoffs or whatever, usually by running very well and consistent, but he gets the win. Austin Dillon surprised me a little bit with the way he's ran pretty good at the first of the year. Menard is what he is. I mean, I guess he brings some money to the organization, which is great, and shows up every Sunday and races the car. So I'm going to go a C- on Richard Childress Racing.
I'm actually giving Richard Childress Racing a D. When you look at Newman in the 13th position, you know, Austin Dillon 21st position, Paul Menard in the 27th position as far as point standings go up to this point, you really don't like what's going on down there. Yeah, Newman slipped out there through some pit strategy and come out with a win, stole a win out there. I mean, no matter how you get it, you still have a victory.
Oh, yeah.
But still, I give him a D because I just don't see much out of him going right now.
Right.
D's a little low for me, but it would not be any higher than a C, probably a C minus. but you have to compare what our expectation level was to where they're actually are they performing at the way we've seen some things out of Austin Dillon, but not enough consistency. The Menard car, that car is just it's a 15 to 20 place car. I think that everybody expects that. Ryan Newman's had some good runs and had some pretty racy cars early on. Did get the win with strategy. So if I look at where I expected them to be and what they've done, it may be that grade should be a little higher. But on just performance based, I think Jason his I'd go like CC minus.
For Richard Childress Racing, I'm definitely going to give them a bonus. If you can break a 127 Amen. Race winless streak, you deserve a B minus.
Wow. I mean, a bonus, too. That's getting in my world, in the banking world. I like it. All right, let's do we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss further. We've got about five or six more. We'll get those down. Make sure you go to Twitter if you want to weigh in on this. At Racing Talk Radio, you can weigh in on a grade that you want to give the organization. We'd love to hear from you there. We'll come back in just a minute.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Babbling Instant Oil Change Studios. Racing Talk Radio 101.3 The Buzz.
Got a full house today.
Full house. We, it's not every day you get Sean Whitfield, the media mogul.
May have to start selling admission.
That we would have to do.
Hey, I was coming to get Jamie Kyle's autograph.
Well, yeah.
Hey, listen, that line is
short.
It's out the door.
Very, very short. So, all right, we broke down Hendrick Motorsports, Penske Racing, and RCR. Let's head to one. If you could give a most improved grade, I would do this, but Chip Ganassi Racing. This is my other A, and part of the reason is because, they have Jamie and then they have Kyle. Kind of works out really well with Jamie and Kyle Larson. So they have really picked it up this year. I've heard this said on other shows that they're getting a lot more of the better stuff from Hendrick Motorsports, and they think that makes a difference because of the Stuart Haas switch to Ford. I think that plays a little bit of a role, but, with Jamie McMurray's always been fairly consistent. Kyle Larson, you can tell, was kind of a diamond in the rough. I mean, just waiting on his coming out party. And this is the year. So I gave them an A, and I think we'll see that. The one thing that I would be interested to see is if they can keep the consistency through the whole year. I think if they can do that, then this team's arrived.
I'm giving these guys an A as well. And you look at them and you look at the two cars there, and I know you talked about maybe some of the things to get more equipment from Hendrick Motorsports. Well, look at where they're in the standings. They're first in the standings, eighth in the standings. That's higher than three other drivers,
right.
Or, than all the three other drivers besides Chase Elliott at Hendrick. I think they're doing an excellent job out there. Kyle Larson seems to be contending for victories every single week of the year and looks like to be some of the fastest cars out there.
I mean, listen, he could have four wins, yeah. And that's really – and that's not a stretch. He's been an opportunity to have to win races every single week. They've put themselves in position. Jamie McMurray is – what we thought he is. I think they have fast race cars and he's consistent. Can he find a way to win a race? Maybe he puts himself, especially at a super speedway, in the right place at the right time. He can win. But I think Larson's the real deal. And I think the step that they have taken this year has really been on his shoulders. We knew what kind of, I know I talk about this every time I talk about Kyle Larson, but I'll never forget the restart at California's rookie year when he literally passed about eight dudes in one coming out of turn two and just found a way to make it work. We don't see talent like that every year with every rookie class. And I think when we saw that kid step out on the track and start doing things, it was as impressive as a kid as I've seen in a long time. You put him in with Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney. I think the sport's in great hands, and I think they have taken their step because he has taken that next step into not only just contending but winning races and putting himself in a position where he can win a championship.
When I think of big surprises for 2017, Ganassi Racing is one of those that I have on my list. I always had the feeling that Kyle Larson had the ability to be successful and win races, but let's face it, he has not came in quite as strong at the beginning of his NASCAR career as he was forecasted to be. Kyle Larson has placed second four times so far this year, got a win. Jamie McMurray's been one of those drivers in the past that I've almost at times often wondered, does he need to go back down to the Xfinity Series and maybe join Elliott Sadler, a driver that maybe he was on the edge of whether or not he was deserving of a Cup ride, but certainly he's turned things around this year. And lucky for him, because if Kyle Larson was running well and he wasn't, he would even be in a more challenging position. So I'm going to give him an A.
Wow. I thought after all that he would have said B or something, but he goes with
A. I think Kyle Larson
brings it to the top.
Yeah, I think the way this – I mean, he's the points leader. He's contending week in and week out. You know, they're qualifying fairly well. To me, it's been as an impressive start to a season as we've seen in a while. I think Kevin Harvick a couple years ago with all those first and second place or a lot – one win and then a whole bunch of second and third place finishes. It's kind of that kind of start. So I've been very impressed with what Larson's been able to do.
All right, Jack Roush, who celebrated his, 100th birthday today. Seems like he's been around forever. I want to say 75th birthday today. So I know he listens to the show. Happy birthday, Jack Roush, right? So he's listening now, probably following us on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I'm giving them a D. Here's why. Jason and I were talking before the show of, you know, you've got Trevor Bayne that's running 12th in points right now. I still look at when Biffle was running with them in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, he was always around that teens, in 15, 16, 17 spot. Last year wasn't too good, but I don't see any improvement coming out of that camp, and it's almost like they're stale. I don't see anything going forward. I don't really see anything going backward. I would want to see, it, for me, I think for them, would be to get some new leadership if Jack would give up the reins a little bit and kind of let that go and see if they can do some different things. So, you know, I would have gave them an F, but they haven't brought back Biffle in the KFC outfit, so I'll give that at least one up there and give them a D.
I'm going to give them a C. When I think of C, I think of pretty average. And I think that's kind of where they've been. You look and you see Bayne sitting there in 12th, Stenhouse in 19th. I think you're looking at about average, middle of the pack. So I'm going to go give these guys a C. Not a whole lot of expectations, like you said, coming into this season. Haven't had many expectations for Roush Fenway Racing the past few seasons, as a matter of fact. I'm going to give them a C.
And I think that's what makes them hard to grade, because I think they have been a little racier.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean they're competing for wins? No, I just don't see that on the track. I see them having better cars, and seems like they're taking steps, but it's small steps. I'm still not seeing the consistent top tens competing for wins. So I would go D plus C minus in terms of performance based, but there is an opportunity to improve. I think this group we've been waiting for this transition. It seems like since, you know,
Mark Martin.
Since Mark Martin left, and that's not as far fetched as it really sounds. You know, and it's been a slow progress. Have they turned the corner? I'm not convinced enough to say that they have, but it looks like they're making some progress, even if it's small.
I'm going to have to disagree with Jamie a little bit and agree more with Scott.
I knew you were smart.
Because when you look at the picture of each of the teams in NASCAR and you look at Roush Fenway Racing, they have been a low-performing team for the last several years. However, let's remember this. They got both of their teams in the top 20. And this time last year, Roush couldn't say that. So I believe that the addition of Stuart Haas Racing to the Ford camp has been a benefit for all of Ford Racing. And I think that Roush Fenway has been able to capitalize a little bit on that with the engine program. Trevor Bayne, he's in 12th position, top 12 driver right now. So for Roush Fenway, that's like being a top five for another race
team. But is he a top 12 driver the whole year? That's my thing.
Yeah,
he's not going to be there.
We would have thought of Joe Gibbs. We would have thought Joe Gibbs Racing would have been a top five all year.
But they will be at the end. I mean, the lowest one is Daniel Suarez, who
Nostradamus over here,
right?
Right,
but
these
are midterm greats. These are only midterm greats.
Yeah. Right now, you can't say for sure that Joe Gibbs Racing is going to turn it around quick enough. The chances are there, but think about it. We're seeing so many things happen in these first seven races that none of us would have ever predicted.
It's true, and it's seven races, right? So it's not even halfway. I would almost be willing to bet, and I don't have much money, but willing to bet.
You work for a bank.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Daniel Suarez will be the only one out maybe of the top 20, top 15 by halfway through the season. I'd say you've got Kyle Busch up there. Matt Kenseth will be up there. Denny Hamlin's pretty close. I mean, he's 16th. So the lowest one, you know, other than Daniel Suarez, is 22nd. We've seen Dale Earnhardt Jr. run okay and move up several spots. So, you know, I could see that being in the top 15, three of those drivers before the midseason.
Scott, save that audio.
Please do.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do lunch.
We'll play that again come the All-Star race and see if you still feel the same way about that.
All right. Speaking of JGR, let's go ahead and do this. I'm giving him a B. That kind of goes along with my comments that I've had.
Oh, wow.
Listen, we haven't heard a lot about him this year. Let me hear my notes exactly. So I think the big thing is just the adjustment to the car, like I said earlier. I don't think they have this thing figured out yet. They've got smart enough people there to where they can get that done. I think you see a big change between now and mid-year. And then definitely before the end, I think you've got two drivers in the top 12.
I'm going with a D with these guys. You know, we saw them on fire last year, and you look at right now the bell cow out there is Kyle Busch in that organization. After that, like I said, there's a big drop-off from 7th to 16th with Hamlin. And then you got Kenseth in 22nd. And then you got Suarez in 23rd, who was, you know, the Xfinity
champion. Found out he was driving in January.
The guy came up from Xfinity. I mean, he's sitting there 23rd right now. He can't even bring it home.
Yeah, it's not like they just threw him in a piece of junk car. I mean, that car almost won a championship last year, if I'm not mistaken.
And put it this way, Eric Jones is sitting over there driving with Furniture Row Racing would be second in that organization right now.
In a brand new car.
Yeah.
In a brand new team that they put together.
The Toyotas are driving a JGR.
Can we please move on? So
I'm going D with these guys.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for this.
Yeah, sometimes as a teacher, you know, then in the old days they used to have that big rubber stamp, you know, just has big red F, put it right there, fail, see me. I think Joe Gibbs, we need to have a little parent-teacher conference. We need to bring it all in, huddle up, because I think this is an organization that has set the bar so high. And obviously, you know, maybe the start of last year was a little bit of an illusion, but these cars have been fast for 2+ years now. I mean, the fastest, most consistent team in the sport. And to start this season the way they've started, and to really, outside of Kyle Busch, and even he's had some issues, it's not been Kyle Busch-esque. He had a chance to win some races, but the rest of the team is really struggling. Even if you look at Suarez as a rookie, I mean, that car and that team was literally laps away from winning a championship last year in Homestead. So I think this is a team that has struggled. That is, you can blame it on the 2018 Toyota, them still trying to figure it out. But there's a lot of teams still trying to figure it out. Stuart Haas has not had as many issues, and they switch manufacturers. So I'm very disappointed in what we're seeing out of JGR right now. Do I think they can get it turned around? Obviously, with the talented drivers they have, they can get it. But at this point in time, I'm sending an email out. We're having a little parent teacher conference, buddy. We're going to sit down and try to hug it out and try to get this thing worked out.
Well, I'm on Scott and Jason's boat because Jamie's
is
just sink.
Of course,
yeah,
sunk.
It's sunk because to Joe Gibbs' standards and to add to what Scott said, they raised the bar in the sport to a high level. This is almost, these drivers should be ashamed to be as far back as they are. This is an organization with a lot of money, with a lot of resources, with a lot of good engineering and staff, and some of the best sponsors in the sport. To be having three drivers that are outside the top 15 and no wins so far this year, this is just not acceptable for Joe Gibbs Racing and Toyota.
Unacceptable.
I knew that guy was smart sitting over there.
Oh yeah,
that just shows you what kind of talent is coming out of the radio down in Chattanooga on Monday and Thursday nights.
I want to know where Jamie's B came from.
Yeah, right? Listen, he did that last night when he had his rowdy onesie on, and he was sitting in the corner playing
eating M&M's with my wife that's just as beautiful as his wife.
Yeah,
with his Boss Energy drink.
Yeah, sitting around saying, "Whoa,
moving on." Furniture Row Racing. I'm going to go ahead and give them a B plus. I would have gave them an A. I kind of looked at that as the whole thing. I mean, you got Eric Jones, that's a rookie. I know we just talked about Daniel Suarez, but you know, he's sitting 14th in points. That's pretty good, especially what all they have to do being out in Colorado. I think Truex has done what I expected him to do. He's run really well, and I think he'll continue to do so. Again, this goes back to making sure that they can keep the consistency through the year. They can't have a drop off being a two car team. They've got to be able to stick to it. I think if they do, we may have a champion here in the next couple of years named Martin Truex Jr.
You know, you talk about the small team out there that's sitting in Denver, you know, Furniture Row Racing. I'm going to give these guys an A. I really like Truex. He's consistent. He's a force to be reckoned with every single week. He's a contender every time he steps out on the track. Like what Eric Jones is doing this year. He's been pretty consistent so far, sitting at 14, like you said, in the points. And I really like what they've got going out there.
I'm with you. I would say A-minus, because I thought Truex has probably had two or three races where he's had the best car and not won. So that kind of has taken a bit of that away from my perspective. You take away Eric Jones' first couple of races, and they've been very good. So that's a brand new team. Now, I know they get a lot of technical support and I think his actual pit crew and stuff comes from was an offshoot of the JGR group. So, I mean, there's some talent there, but they've been able to put together a two-car team and starting to see some results of their labor. And Jones, to me, looks like he's the real deal. Truex is going to be there at the end. You know, can he get to Homestead? That'll be that'll be one of the questions. But he's definitely going to put himself in position to win a championship.
I'm going to echo what Scott
and Jason have said. You've been doing the whole show.
And Martin Truex Jr.'s got one win. They've got four stage wins and 9 playoff bonus points so far. Eric Jones, rookie driver. Having a good season. I would have expected a little bit better than what he's achieved, but so far so good. So I'm going to go with an A-.
All that, and then you just throw it out in A-. All right, Stuart Haas, this was tricky for me because I love the way that Clint Bowyer is running. I love the excitement. It's almost like it's his rookie year, and this is all he's ever wanted to do. And Kevin Harvick had a lot of stage wins earlier in the year, kind of fell off some, led a lot of laps. I mean, you think about back to Atlanta, you know, where he pretty much dominated that race. I had to go. I went with a B+. I could have easily went with a C-. I think as a team as a whole. Just because,
man, I'm glad you're no grade. I'm glad you decided you to go into banking instead of teaching. That's a big jump. Well, I was gonna go, C+, but we'll go, A-, and just in case.
It's kind of hard because you don't know what to get.
70 to an 89.
You know, Jason's favorite driver, Danica, figures in there too, so that makes it even more difficult. So
she just brought the curve down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going B+. Go.
I would have given these guys a lower grade, but I'm giving them a little bit of a pass. Due to them going the first year in Ford. So I'm giving them a little bit of pass. I'm giving them a B. Like Bowyer in 9th place, sitting in points. Harvick in 10th. And, Kurt Busch really hadn't done a whole lot outside of the Daytona 500 victory. And Danica's Danica. But I'm going to give these guys a B solely on the manufacturer change.
Which at the end of the day, though, if you think about it, Scott, before you go, there was 4 drivers who could have won the Daytona 500. Kurt happened to have enough gas.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was, that's super speedway stuff. I mean, that's just being at the right place at the right time. He's not been very consistent since then. I'm going to go C+. I like, and the only reason I went that high is because I like what Clint Bowyer's doing, the excitement he's bringing to that team, the resurgence of the 14 car. I know Tony Stewart has had a couple wins over the last couple years, but that car was very inconsistent. He stepped in and has done some great things in that car. The reason why the grade is so low is because you have a guy that should be competing for a championship in Kevin Harvick. He had a bunch of stage wins early on, but they have struggled. And we knew that. I really thought that there would be some kind of ebb and flow this year as they get comfortable in that Ford and try to figure out all the nuances of being with that manufacturer. I don't have any doubt that they'll figure it out. Danica's Danica. She does what she needs to do for the team. So C+ with a look to if Harvick can start to trend back the other direction of being able to move forward as we get closer to the All-Star break.
I'll agree with a C+.
And Scott and Jason.
Because Stuart Haas Racing hasn't performed to the level that we have traditionally seen those guys perform. So far, none of their drivers have won, except for Kurt Busch winning the Daytona 500, which was big. Kevin Harvick almost won Atlanta, made a mistake on pit road. Danica is Danica. So I'm going to go with a B-.
Or if we could get that on a T-shirt.
We should.
Where's Travis Scott for any? Danica is Danica.
Travis Scott for you heard that, so just know that. All right, so that was very interesting going through those teams. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bristol Motor Speedway, the Food City 500. Always a great race to have on a Sunday, and we'll do that, and then we'll talk about the Monster Energy Series point standings when we come back.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Bus.
Hello and welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my left, co-host Jason Hildebrand. Across the hall, Scott Webb and our special guest, Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group. Unfortunately, he's here today, so get that.
He's bringing,
he's bringing heat,
The knowledge. I've been thoroughly impressed.
Whatever.
He's
not gonna be able to fit out the door when he walks. His head's
with the amount of
been in here. I gotta bring
agreement I've had with him, which should tell you a lot about.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's listen almost been 3-1 today, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just added one to that mix. It's 2-1 most weeks.
So anyway, listen to Valvoline Racing Radio on Rock 105 Mondays at 6 and Thursdays at 6. So you'll probably hear, he'll probably copy our show prep tomorrow and do that. That's what he'll do. So
I know you're saving me some work.
So it's actually a good thing. All right, got a great great track coming up this weekend. Always enjoy Bristol, so close to us. And I know most of us go there in August. You know, one thing I noticed this week coming up to it, it seems like they've widened the groove as far as the stuff that they put down, the sticking agent or whatever to keep the cars or try to get the cars to race down on the bottom. Jason, it seemed like last year in August that kind of went away early, and then they kind of moved back up the top, even though Kevin Harvick kind of stayed down there.
Yeah, and you know, you listen to what Harvick said, and you hear his quotes from this year and actually last year. Absolutely loved how they did that up at the track, and it provided for some really good racing up there and some racing that we hadn't seen in a while.
Absolutely. He was asked this week what he thought about the Bristol adding the grip to the track, and here's what he said.
Oh, I think adding the groove back to the bottom of the racetrack helped a tremendous amount. You know, the top was still the preferred groove, but I think that was I think that particular race had more passes than any fall race had ever had. So, you know, I think when you look at the options that you had as a driver from the bottom to the top, you know, it just made for good racing, made for a lot of passes. And as a driver, when you have options like that, that's a good thing.
You know, one of the things you look at in the top 10 driver ratings at Bristol Motor Speedway, this guy's number 3. I mean, he's really somebody to contend with up there. Kyle Busch, kind of another guy. I mean, this is a guy that we've talked about over the past 45 minutes on this show about how he needs a win. And it really, you know, I can remember him bringing out the broom a couple of years ago up there at Bristol and always seems to run well.
Yeah, you know, this is obviously one of his better tracks. It's exciting to see him run. Will the enough of the bottom groove come in so that you can get some two-wide racing and be able to make some passes or at least be able to run the bottom if that's where your car works the best? But Kyle can run any place, anywhere, anytime. I know that you're a big fan. So it's going to be exciting to see. Can they get it going? Can they get a little momentum going for that organization and try to push themselves into victory lane this week?
Sean, Kyle Larson is one of those drivers that, you know, he's kind of always up top and always, I don't want to use the term I'm going to use, but just wide open all the time. So going to Bristol, it's kind of amazing that he hasn't won there. It's somebody, though, with his driving style that could really get it done.
Well, Kyle Larson is known to have his history in sprint car racing, and that is, for the most part, short track racing. So he's got a lot of experience on that style of racetrack. But if you just go by his history so far this season, yes, he is a strong contender. He is a guy that could possibly win. But if you look at the past, then I'm going to go more with someone from Penske. I think Brad Keselowski or Joey Logano could possibly be the guys that are the ones that are running the best and could possibly win the race this weekend.
Absolutely. Gotcha.
Nothing. It's just great.
Where are you going with
that? Great minds think alike.
Yeah, just great minds think. I mean, the guy is bringing it today. There's no reason to even.
You sure I didn't send that text again back to Sean as well?
Yeah.
Why do we even bring him up here? All right, you mentioned Joey Logano. He has been really good at Bristol. I know many night races that we went up there, and he's won. And it's really, Bristol's one of the most unique tracks on the circuit. And they asked Joey, they said, what's some of the challenges of racing on the High Bank short track?
Yeah, Bristol, I love Bristol. Maybe my favorite racetrack. You know, I think the way the track is, from when you get there, to when you leave changes so much. It goes through, I say it was four stages. There's, and when you get there, the bottom's the fastest and the top's super slick, and then it rubbers up and it gets really fast up there, and then you end up running the radius up top, and then it over rubbers, and it changes. The track just changes throughout the whole race, and it makes it a lot of fun for a driver and a team to keep that, to figure out where the track's going to go and how to adjust your car. And it's Bristol. I mean, what else do you have to say? You walk into the racetrack and it's cool. You know what I mean? You can just walk around and say, this place is neat. You get the stadium atmosphere. You can hear the fans yelling and screaming. From inside the car, you can hear the fans yelling. It's not on the green, but under caution, you can hear them. And that's really neat to be able to see that. And you see the flash bulbs going off on their cameras and all that. So I love that atmosphere. I get really excited about running Bristol. And as far as the format, for me as a driver, it doesn't change anything for me. I got one gear, and I'm not afraid to admit it. It's wide open all the time. It might affect other drivers in the way they race, but it definitely will affect the crew chiefs more than anything. Because obviously when you're calling the race and you're thinking about how to maximize your points day and the points that are going to be scored through these segments and the bonus points that are going to come along with it, that's going to be a lot to think about, and it's going to change depending on where you're running, how fast your car is, where you started. All that's going to be a big deal.
Well, Joey just pretty much covered the whole way you go up to Bristol and walk in the track and
win. I think we
sat
to a media conference. No kidding.
That was crazy. I know, Jason, you've been up there many of times in the spring and had many of long days with the weather, and so we decided, you know, this week since Bristol's coming up, exactly, we're going to throw out the Bristol weather forecast by Jason Hildebrand, brought to you by, we'll say, the Weather Channel. Go ahead, Jay.
Sunday looking at 100% chance of precipitation.
Or precipitation.
In the morning.
Sounds like me reading the...
Yeah, exactly. Continuing the afternoon, it's going to be showers in the evening, but guess what? Monday looks good.
There it is, right there. Looks like I'll be at Regions Bank listening to some NASCAR. I'm just kidding. Now, you know the way
you
the weather
watching
changes.
Watching it online, I tell you that.
Yeah, the weather.
No,
changes
there's no
a lot.
Doubt. Not at Regions, he won't be.
Yeah, the weather changes a lot up there. We've seen it sometimes where it says it's going to do that, and then clears up. So, all right. Enough with the thunder.
You know, I agree with Joey. There's nothing worse than a track that over rubbers.
And there's this one joke that Sean Whitfield will be
that
here all day.
Yeah, we'll leave that one. We'll leave that there.
FCC? No. All right. So, all right. It's time for the Monster.
This used to be Racing Talk Radio.
It did. All right. It's time for the Monster Energy Series Point Standings. That's brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylock Realtors. Listen, I know everybody, when they think about selling their homes, it's one of the most stressful times, especially when you want to go buy something. Stephanie's really good at this, stays on top of it, will contact you every day. She is still looking for properties on Mouse Creek Road right now. If you live on Mouse Creek, put a for sale sign in your yard with her name on it. That's Stephanie Painter. Her phone number is 650-9429 or 473-9545. Scott Webb, take it away.
Well, I got pressure today because the boss man's in the house, so let's see if I can read this correctly. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series standings. Kyle Larson sits on top of the leaderboard. 17 points back is Chase Elliott. Martin Truex Jr. third. Brad Keselowski fourth. Joey Logano fifth. Ryan Blaney sixth. Kyle Busch, rowdy.
He's a solid B, though.
He is a solid B in that organization.
I just swallowed a peanut butter M&M.
Yes. He is sitting seventh. Jamie McMurray is eighth. Clint Bowyer ninth. And in the 10th spot, Mr. Kevin Harvick.
I haven't been closing this year.
No. Right. A little disappointing. That's your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series point standing.
That was longer than my title, but that's brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylock. Make sure you give her a call if you want to sell your house or buy your dream home. 473-9545 or call her sales 650-9429. All right.
Surely the guys at Monster can come up with a better way. That is a mouthful. I mean, there's got to be a better way to say that. Or maybe if you could just talk English, you could probably say it as well.
Well, I mean, you're the one that's the teacher. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, but
right?
I'm not an English teacher, buddy.
You're supposed to have a degree, which English would have been included.
That's debatable as well.
That is true. It's fake news. That's what that is. All right, when we come back, we'll do the most important part of the show, the power rankings and picks to win. We'll do that when we come back.
Pit Stop Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. This is Racing Talk Radio 101.3 The Buzz. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. Coach Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, and, well, he's here, Sean Whitfield, hanging out with us today. We've talked about a lot. We've given grades to every one of the top organizations in NASCAR. And
some of those grades even actually made sense.
Yeah, some of them did. And, you know, I don't even want to talk about that right now. I'm done with that. I don't want you to retweet this show or anything because I don't want to hear it again. But if you do want to listen to it, it's on Twitter, and it will be on Facebook, Racing Talk Radio. All right, most important part of the show now, it's turned into anyway, because I finally caught on how to do this and do it right and make sure I pick the right drivers. And you will see by exactly who I have in my power rankings. So let's kill the music and go ahead and get started. I feel like Macho Man Randy Savage. Stop the music. All right, so I've got the number two of Brad Keselowski. And then first, you could probably say most consistent driver all year, 42. Second most consistent driver, could be a tie for first in Kyle Larson, number two. Jimmy Johnson, my guy, got the win at Texas. Seven-time one at the seventh track of the season. He's in third. And then Rowdy Kyle Busch bringing it in fourth. And then I had to throw the rookie driver in with Ryan Blaney in fourth. I'm going to give you my pick to win after we get done with this, and it's not going to be a surprise. Jason Hill.
No, it's not.
Now, gone with Brad Keselowski with two wins on the season, looking really sharp right now. Kyle Larson in second, 42 car. Looking at Martin Truex Jr., who was omitted in the first in your power rankings in the 78.
Of course.
22 of Joey Logano has been really, really fast all year. And Chase Elliott, the 24 car, and fifth in my power rankings.
Mr. Webb.
I kept Kyle Larson on top of the list. I think he's been the most consistent driver all year long, had the most opportunity to win races. I got two-time winner Brad Keselowski sitting in second. Martin Truex Jr. has been as strong as anybody. I thought at probably three of the seven races, they may have had the best race car for sure. So I really like what Truex is doing. I got Rowdy in there because you know that's for Kyle over there. And I left Chase Elliott in my top five. Consistency. Now I need them to see them win some races. Now they've done the consistency thing of being putting themselves in position. Now it's time for the 24 to go out and win some races.
Let me guess. You agree with Scott. You agree with Jason. You agree with Mike Helton. Is there anybody else you agree with today?
Brian France.
Brian France. Yes. There we go.
Well, let me make sure that I understand how the power rankings of racing talk radio work.
Let me tell you, yeah, Sean, it's like the NASCAR rule book, buddy. Yeah. There's no really rhyme or reason to it. Kyle will just bring it, he'll just make stuff up and just changes the rule book on a weekly basis.
So to simplify this would be like top five drivers that we think have the best chance of winning. Is that a good way to look at it?
Or a season ranking.
Like a season. Yeah, I guess that's probably a good way to say it. There's not a right or wrong answer here.
That's what
just
makes
ask
so
Kyle.
Fun. Yeah.
Because he's wrong most of the time.
Well, exactly. Jamie kind of threw me for a loop when he said Jimmy Johnson, because Jimmy hasn't won in Bristol since 2010, and then he's only won there one time. So
I'm not picking him to win. I mean,
I was just curious.
He's in my power rankings. He won at Texas. I mean, just give me your five. Let's go.
I'm going to go Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Kevin Harvick.
Can you slow down with that real quick and say it again?
Kyle Larson.
Yep.
Chase Elliott.
Wow.
Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Kevin Harvick. It's almost your top five with the exception of Truex.
So what do you have against my 48 pick in this group? And then you're putting Kevin Harvick in there who hadn't won anything stage.
See, I had to throw you a curveball.
No. But Johnson's been non-existent basically until last week.
He's existent, and he'll be existent. Watch him when he gets eight.
Anyway. I think your rankings, okay?
I think the bylaws of power rankings need.
No,
to be
yeah,
no, we did that last year.
Yeah, well, no, that we've got work. A series of text messages one afternoon with the bylaws in them.
All right, let's. This will be hopefully the fastest 2 minutes I have left in my radio career after this.
The fastest 2 minutes in racing, yes. Coming up right here.
All right, my pick to win. Take your car, jump in it right now. Take your car down to M&M Mars down there. Grab you some peanuts, some chocolate, some whatever you want to grab, Mars, whatever they make down there. Just go ahead and get you some because Rowdy's going to bring home the victory on Sunday. And listen, if he's running Saturday, he may even bring that one home too. Jason Hildebrand.
I like Joey Logano up there. He's won two of the last three in his fall races. I think he's been pretty racy up there versus early on in his career. But I'm going with the 22 of Joey Logano to win.
I spent last weekend down in Dawsonville, Georgia, at the outlet malls, hanging out down there, doing a little shopping with the wife on a non-race weekend.
Oh, she was shopping with you.
Well, yeah, it was. That was probably it. Thanks for all the great deals down there. But and so to celebrate spending some time in Dawsonville last weekend, I'm going to take the 24 car of Chase Elliott to get his first win.
Simple and sweet. Brad Keselowski is going to get his third win of the season this weekend.
It's that Penske love you got. I mean, I'm wondering, somebody who drives a Toyota and has drove a Toyota for a long time.
That's true.
And, you know, have good friends
I am very loyal to Toyota. However, I'm a little disappointed in them right now.
Well, but Sean realizes facts are facts.
Oh, here we go.
You can't ignore that.
That's all. Well, I mean, you can if your name is Jamie Kyle.
Yeah. And I will. It's the way I do that. So it's just one of those things. All right. So, Scott, I think we're on PRN this week with the Food City 500. Starts at?
2 o'clock is when, well, they'll actually start. I think ceremonies start at 2 o'clock, and they'll probably be like 2:10. But it is on Fox, on regular Fox this week, and on PRN right here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz. I believe coverage starts at 1 o'clock on both the TV and radio side.
So should go ahead.
1 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah, Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, it'll be. Let me go ahead and cue this up again. Yeah, because that's what it's gonna. On 2 o'clock on Sunday, it may be that may be what you.
I've
hear
rode
right
those
there.
Baby. I've rode those storms out up there in the past few.
You,
years.
Listen, a couple years ago, you were a world champ going up there and sitting through about 8 hours of rain just to watch some racing.
Well, what you don't know is Jason used to be a huge Dale Earnhardt fan, and the angel of Dale Earnhardt still shows up at Bristol every spring race up there in full outfit.
Oh, yeah.
With the glasses.
Full racing uniform and everything.
Yeah. I just don't understand why he drinks. But still, it's one of those things Jason goes up there.
What we should have done is we should have done power rankings by entrance music into Bristol this week. The big deal, those guys always pick their songs of what they're going to come out to. I've seen some great stuff.
Yeah, they'll probably be carrying an umbrella this Sunday, so we'll see that. So, all right, this is I'm going to say it's been great. You know, we had Sean here.
It's been great.
Yeah.
It has been great. Sean, you're welcome, buddy. Anytime.
Thank you for letting me be here today.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure you tune in next week as we'll break down Bristol and Kyle Busch's win. But for Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, Sean Whitfield, I'm Jamie Kyle. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.